Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
3 o'clock, Carl. Right.
So we're getting some reaction.
To the Keyshawn stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have the Keyshawn quote?
Yeah,
again.
I do.
All right, so Key, we got on our friend Key earlier because he disparaged macaroni and cheese. He was asked about Mac Jones, the Patriots quarterback, and here's what he said.
Mac Jones, this training or this preseason to me, looked like bad macaroni and cheese with breadcrumbs on top. I mean, it just for whatever reason, and I don't know if it's Matt Patricia and Joe Judge, or it's just the offensive line, or it's the play calling, or whatever the case, or he's not seeing it clean, but he looks like a guy that belonged in the fourth round, opposed to the guy that we saw last year help his team at times get into the playoffs. Mm-hmm. When he was helping his team make some crucial plays here and there, he looked like a totally different dude this preseason. I don't know what it is, but he doesn't, like I said, he looked like a bad pan of macaroni and cheese.
Okay, so we got on Key for disparaging macaroni and cheese.
Yeah, what's wrong with mac and cheese?
Apparently, it may be cultural.
Okay.
We're hearing from a bunch of black guys who, Andre Taylor, who DMs me a lot, says, I know why Keyshawn said that. Most African Americans don't put breadcrumbs on the Mac. It's blasphemy to us. This from Worthy Splash. Yo, Mason in Ireland. It's a cultural thing. Breadcrumbs don't belong on no damn mac and cheese. I get Bergman Greg agreeing with you, but Jorge, you should know better.
Jorge.
This is from Kev. Key's point is black people do not, all caps, put breadcrumbs on our mac and cheese.
So why is that?
We love it, just not with breadcrumbs. That's for y'all. So we have been called out by the culture police. Apparently, it's a black thing. They don't like breadcrumbs on their mac and cheese. I would have no objection to breadcrumbs on mac and cheese.
Now, I have no objection to it. Why is everything... I guess it is a cultural thing, right?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, well, this is like yesterday when I was marveling at the fact that the Red Sox traded Mookie Betts.
Right.
And I tweeted something like, wow, four-time All-Star, four-time Gold Glove winner, 26 years old. Red Sox develop him, and then they trade him.
Yeah.
I said, I don't know why they did it, but I'm glad they did. And I heard from multiple people, more than five, say, of course you know why they traded him. They traded him because he's black and Boston's racist. I really don't think that's it.
No, I don't believe in that. I mean, you know, if you're a baseball organization, all you care about is wins and losses. And I'm sure there's that element in Boston. And we've heard it from many, many people, including LeBron recently. He's talking about how
we had Torrey Hunter on the show. He said that he put it in his contract that he couldn't be traded to the Red Sox because he felt it was so racist there.
But I do not believe the Red Sox would cut off their nose despite their face.
Well, they're idiots.
Yeah.
I mean, they're idiots for trading him in the first place. If that's the reason they traded him, they're twice as dumb.
Yeah.
You know, it just doesn't seem possible. But maybe, you know, maybe this mac and cheese thing is cultural.
Yeah, sounds like it is.
I've heard from enough people.
I got breaking news. The Rams have finalized their 53-man roster, and surprise, wide receiver Lance McCutcheon made the team. Yesterday we were talking to DeMarco Farr. He thought maybe not.
Yeah, I think that may be because Van Jefferson's not ready to come off the injured list yet.
And they're carrying a third quarterback. Bryce Perkins has made the team. Had they waived him, he would have been picked up immediately.
Matter of fact, I've heard Wolford has some injury issues. I think that if Stafford had trouble against Buffalo, got injured,
yep,
that we might see Bryce Perkins.
I think
for at least early in the seasons, I think he might be the
two. To keep a third quarterback is definitely a commitment.
Right.
The Rams are making a commitment to Bryce Perkins and to that position. Most teams do not carry a third quarterback. So Lance McCutcheon, who had a really good preseason, wide receiver, and again, Van Jefferson is hurt. We're expecting to see Tutu Atwell at wide receiver as well as maybe that fourth guy. And quarterback Bryce Perkins both make the 53-man roster. Otherwise, no surprises.
So the roster.
Explain something to me.
Yep.
Today's cutdown day. You have to have your roster set by, I think it's 3 o'clock.
Yes.
Maybe it was 1 o'clock. It's today.
It was 1 o'clock.
You guys see the Cowboys roster, 53-man roster?
I have not looked at it yet.
One quarterback.
Really?
Dak Prescott.
They're not carrying a second quarterback?
They cut him.
Well, they must. You have to carry a backup quarterback. You have to.
Well, they have one.
Yeah, you
have
to.
I mean, they're obviously going to pick somebody up. You can't not have a backup quarterback, right?
Right.
Unless they want to go to the Wildcat and hike the ball to Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah, they've got to have planned signing some sort of backup quarterback.
You would think.
All right, so I mentioned this a couple of times. I'm finally going to officially get to it. That is Aaron Rodgers. I just wanted to play this one thing from Aaron Rodgers on the Joe Rogan podcast. Listen to this first. This isn't necessarily surprising.
Did they make sure you weren't playing on that stuff?
No, you played, definitely. Yeah.
Wow. And what, did you ever play on it?
Yeah.
What did you play on?
Percocet.
And did they make sure you weren't?
Okay, so there's that. So he played on Percocet. Not uncommon.
So did now, Brett Favre.
A lot of Green Bay Packers fans, though, have come out on social media and said they think they've identified the game where he was definitely on Percocet. Now, listen to this interview afterwards. This is, again, Green Bay Packer fans, and see if you can hear what they're hearing.
You know, I went in the locker room, did all the tests, and then I was in our indoor facility trying to get it loosened up. But I knew once I got back on the field, the adrenaline started going, I'd be able to hang in there.
What was the injury?
My knee. You know, I just felt something in it. Just had a hard time putting weight on it. Doc and I had a conversation there. You know, we did the test. I told him I was going back.
You come back on the field, it's 20 to...
Okay, so...
So he's... That was with Michelle Tafoya, but that didn't sound like Aaron Rodgers, did it?
It is Aaron Rodgers, but he's talking in a really high-pitched voice.
Yeah, sure was.
Yeah, so... Packer fans think that was a game where he may have, and I guess that's common, right? DeMarco will be in here in a little while, I think. Is DeMarco filling in today?
It's a Brian and Beto.
Brian and Beto. Okay, good. Yeah, DeMarco would contest to that. I mean, if you go back to the early days of the NFL, they used to have candy dishes filled with Adderall and painkillers and stuff like that. Those times have changed, but still, sometimes you take the needle and that's what you do. John, this is something I wanted to get to today that I find to be very important.
Okay.
It is officially Thursday, National Eat in Bed Day.
I don't believe you.
Now, people...
I don't think that is a thing.
People are doing this everywhere. And I am expecting pictures on social media of people eating dinner in bed. And the best one on Friday will win a Mason and Ireland chain. We've all got our chains. John got his J.I. chain. Jorge, you're not wearing your Jorge chain right now.
I know. It's the back.
And I may wear it to every public appearance
I
we
hope
do.
You do. I hope you do. It'll look great.
I do.
So you win a Mason and Ireland chain if you send your best picture of eating in bed for National Eat in Bed Day. By the way, Thursday is also National Corporate Greg Day. National Corporate Greg Day because it is his birthday.
Hey, thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thursday's your birthday?
Thursday
is my birthday.
How old of a man will you be?
I will be 39 years old.
Oh, 30. Your last year pre-40. Yes, all downhill from here.
Is that 39
again?
It's been
downhill for a while. No. 39.
Legit?
First time. Legit first time 39.
Yeah, nice. No, nice.
40 next year.
Do you feel older?
I mean, I feel old every day.
Yeah, but you're now running the joint. Helping to run the joint.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you've moved up in the world.
Yeah, so much.
Let's see how long it lasts.
That's why I got the name Corporate Greg.
Yes.
Jorge, I have a question for you. So there, Juan was listening to the station.
Yeah.
2 weeks ago when we were here.
Mm-hmm.
And you said something about somebody blowing their nose in the studio.
Right.
Do you recall this?
Yeah. And it started with how it's annoying when somebody does it on the table.
Right.
And then I said,
well, especially post-COVID, blowing your nose is worse than farting.
And, right. Juan said to me, that was you, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
It was me, right?
It was you.
But where are you supposed to blow your nose?
Away from people.
Yeah, not behind me.
But, I mean, I'm over in the corner.
You can't do it around people.
Where? I got to leave the room?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it's the new farting.
No. No, blowing your nose is not the new fart.
Hey, no, Jorge, honest question. More socially acceptable post-COVID, to fart or to blow your nose?
Oh, man.
I wouldn't care if somebody farted. They're blowing my nose. Right. I'm like, look, what are you doing, man?
If somebody farts, I can't even smell it. So, Greg, if you
You have no sense of smell?
Oh, man, you have no idea what's been going on back here.
1978.
Tell you what, I was on the airplane coming back from Costa Rica, and somebody must have...
Are you somebody?
No, it was not me.
Whoever smelt it, dealt it.
Somebody must have. Somebody must have. Yeah, I won't. I'll try to avoid blowing my nose around.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Jorge.
I honestly don't think I farted in 2 months.
See?
Yeah.
Blowing your nose is the new fart.
Hey, I have not heard this, but I want to play it.
Okay.
Okay? This is John Gruden. Okay? John Gruden has not talked publicly.
Right.
About him being fired by the Raiders for those nasty emails.
And he's in the middle of litigation against the NFL, right?
Correct. Suing the Raiders, suing the NFL. Today he was a guest at the Touchdown Club in Little Rock. You know, okay. So like a college booster club.
Right.
And this runs about a minute and a half. I have not heard it, but this is the first comments that I can remember that John Gruden has made regarding his firing. Here it is. Okay. So that was only on one channel. I don't think it went out over the air.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We're fixing it. Sometimes when we get audio,
Wait a minute. Everybody lean to your left and you can hear it.
Yeah. Some people probably could. Like if you were listening on the stream, you could probably hear it.
If you do lean to your left, can you hear it better out of that channel
or
as opposed to the
if,
right
if
channel?
You have a tin can. So let's take a break and when we come back,
okay,
we'll
have it.
John Gruden. And what he said today, because this is the first time he's talking.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, we got that coming up next for you.
You know, he never lost a game as a head coach of the Raiders. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, that is very impressive. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! Playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season.
Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hey, what's up? So John Gruden talking for the first time since he got blown out of the Raiders and litigation against the NFL, all that stuff.
And we've got it cleaned up. Here's John Gruden's first comments that I can remember since being fired.
I know you're in a lawsuit right now, so you can't really comment on that particularly. But, you know, the kind of person you are, I thought maybe it was important that maybe you sort of share and just my little bit of exposure around you and the things I've read that your players have said and your assistants have said and the coaches you've been under. I think maybe there's been a different kind of person portrayed. I just want to give you the chance to talk about that.
Well, I appreciate it. I'm not going to say anything but honest things here. I'm ashamed about what has come about in these emails, and I'll make no excuses for it. It's shameful. But I am a good person. I believe that. I go to church. I've been married for 31 years. I got three great boys. I still love football. I've made some mistakes, but I don't think anybody else in here hasn't. And I just ask for forgiveness, and hopefully I get another shot. But I get choked up, you know, because there's a lot of misunderstanding out there right now. What you read, what you hear, what you watch on TV. Hell, I worked at ESPN for 9 years. I worked hard at that job. I don't even want to watch the channel anymore because I don't believe everything is true. And I know a lot of it is just trying to get people to watch. But I think we got to get back to reality, and that's why I look forward to Saturdays, because you're going to get what you deserve when the whistle blows, and we'll see if the Razorbacks can get after Cincinnati, which I hope they do.
Yeah, as a matter of fact.
Okay, so that's John Gruden at the Little Rock Touchdown Club, you know, which is, and he's obviously, they're getting ready for college football. What he just said lends itself to a bigger discussion. So those emails were embarrassing. They were racist. They were horrible.
Yes.
Should it cancel him from working in football again? Should John Gruden have to come up with another line of work?
Look, if I was a black guy, I wouldn't play for John Gruden.
Well,
after those emails, no way.
Right. But I'm talking about just this is in this cancel culture that we live in. If you were John Gruden's brother or his best friend, like Jay Gruden just got hired by the Rams.
Right.
If you were somebody in his family, would you say, hey, what advice would you give him? Would you say, go coach kids, like little kids, and work your way back up? Or, hey, look, you've kind of done something unforgivable in the coaching world. We here in your family don't necessarily think that African-Americans will be comfortable playing for you. You need to find something else. You need to get out of coaching.
Yeah.
Which way would you point him?
I think he's an a-hole, and I don't think he should be coaching anymore.
You think he should find something else?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I don't think he'll be fired. I don't think he'd be hired by anybody.
Well, I think it would be probably as a consultant in a role you could control.
I mean, homophobic, misogynistic, racist. I mean, the emails came out. We know what is in his head and the way he views the world.
Didn't you find it strange, though? I know I did. That the NFL, those emails came out when they were doing an investigation of the Washington football team, right?
Yep.
And he's friends with Bruce Allen. And Bruce's email was part of the Washington football team, so John and Bruce were emailing, and that's how those emails came out. I've been around pro sports for a long time. I know it's kind of a fraternity. There's no way, none, that John Gruden was the only person who wrote offensive emails, but yet he's the only one who came out.
He's the only one we know about.
Right.
If we knew somebody else.
Right. But I'm just saying, why didn't more email, like, why didn't you, did Dan Snyder not write any offensive emails?
Well, isn't Dan Snyder refusing to cooperate with a congressional committee that's investigating him?
I think he agreed to come in on a Zoom one day. Or
yeah,
something.
Yeah.
But it just seems, for lack of a better word, this isn't the right word that I'm about to use, but the prosecution here seems selective.
Okay, but you're talking about process, and I'm talking about what the guy actually wrote.
I understand.
What the guy actually wrote, and it's you're saying it's unfair that we only got Gruden's emails, right?
No, I'm saying it's surprising that he was the only one brought down by this.
It is surprising, but given what he said in those emails, he absolutely should have been. I don't want to. I'm sorry. You just can't walk into a locker room after having said that stuff, having written that stuff, and expect the respect of the players in that locker room.
Well, and every African-American guy I know was not all that surprised by those emails.
Is that right? They knew?
Yeah. Well, they just think, you know, there's a lot of that that goes on. A lot of people who aren't in our shoes don't see it. And this isn't surprising to us. I think the Raiders actually and the NFL actually did the right thing by getting him out.
They did.
But I always wonder about people that get canceled or fired in this case. What's their road back if there is one? And I'm not sure there is one for him.
No, I don't know.
I like giving people second chances. He was on top of the world. Like, for example, Urban Meyer
right.
is going back to Fox.
Right.
We talked about this while you were
gone. Thought it was going to happen, yeah.
Yeah, they've hired him to be part of their college football show. Urban Meyer was a disaster last year in Jacksonville. Like, why anyone would want to hear from Urban Meyer talking about football is beyond me, but Fox thinks they do, and they've hired him and put him back. Could Fox put Gruden on a panel show?
What did Meyer get in trouble? He got in trouble for being really bad at his job, right?
Right.
And mismanaging players.
Right. Apparently didn't know who Aaron Donald was.
Didn't know. Right.
So left the team and went out with some 24-year-old girl at a bar. And,
but there's a difference between incompetence, which is what Urban Meyer
and immorality,
mastered, right?
Yeah.
And what
racist
John Gruden did, which is racist.
Right.
And I'm sorry, you know, you can call it cancellation, but I'm just saying, I don't think black players want to play for John Gruden. I can't imagine they would.
But I don't think any players want to play for Urban Meyer.
Misogynist. Hey, but he's just sitting on a panel with Leinart and
yeah,
Bush.
So my question is, could Gruden do that?
Absolutely not. Because we've seen what he thinks. We've
yeah.
seen his thoughts.
Yeah.
We've seen what's in his brain.
Yeah, I don't know if I was in John's family or if I was one of his brothers, if I would encourage him to stay in football. I would tell him to maybe go open a restaurant or something. Try something different.
Gruden's.
No, don't call it that. Come up with a name that doesn't have your name in it.
Name without your name.
Well, like if you were going to get like Louis C.K., you don't want to call the restaurant Louis.
You know? Right, right.
Or Kevin Spacey doesn't want to call his restaurant Spacey's. You want to.
Right.
You want to. But I do think a career change might have to happen for him.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. So Bergman sent me this note today, and I'm curious about it because I've never quite understood. This thing the afternoon does with the community. Explain the. I'm not in the community. I'm not part of the
Why
community.
Not?
Nobody's
Community's
asked
cool.
me to be in the community. Nobody's.
I like the community.
Yeah, but I've never been invited into it and can't figure out how to get into it.
You just have to find
now,
it.
Now, you tell me there's now a thing called Twitter Circle.
Yeah, which is weird.
Which is different from the community, different from a community. You can add up to 150 people to your circle. What is the point of having 150 followers in a circle?
Well, you just tweet to those 150 people.
Is that what happens with the community? You're only tweeting to the people in the community?
Right.
Well, no wonder I don't see anything. Well, I don't see a damn
thing. It's kind of a shock. Well, yeah,
you're not
you
in the community.
Yeah, you're not in the community. You have to be in the community to see it. But the circle is, yeah, the circle is basically the same thing, but you can only be 150.
Just a lot smaller people.
Yeah, like the Sedano and Cap community has 851 members.
Nice.
So that's, you know, more than the 150.
I'm one of the 851.
Are you one of the 851?
I am.
How'd you get in?
I asked.
Do you have to?
You
need
should
clearance?
Be. You know
yeah,
that Sedano,
they have to accept you.
Sedano and Cap have a community. Travis and Sliwa have a community, but there is no Mason and Ireland.
Well,
community.
We have a Reddit page.
No, we do not.
That is not sanctioned,
we
John.
We do not have a Reddit page. Absolutely not. So, do Travis and Sliwa have a community?
Yeah, they have a community too. Someone offered to make one time. I said, no, that's the afternoon show thing.
But now the morning show
I don't
is doing
think we
now
need
the
it. Yeah. I think we have enough direct. Oh, I mean, there's a million ways to get a hold of us. People can call the show. I mean, wait, what do
well,
we need a community
try and
for?
Call the show.
Try
yeah,
and call the show.
You probably won't answer. Matter of fact, there's people calling right now, Greg. Why aren't you answering these calls?
Because we're in the middle of the segment.
Yeah, that's the idea. They may want to contribute to
I'll
it.
I'll get it in the break. I'm listening to the show and discussing. I will get them in the break.
Well, thank you for listening. We yeah. appreciate you.
Isn't that you know? You
we
get
appreciate
mad at
all of
you
our
get,
listeners.
You get mad when I don't listen. So, you know.
Yeah, you really can't win. That's true.
Yep.
I was listening to Travis and Sliwa today. They were talking about USC.
It was Travis and Andy today.
Oh, Travis and Andy. And they were talking about Lincoln Riley. And I started thinking, Lincoln Riley just can't win this year. He cannot
win. Of
course
he can. If he wins every game, he wins.
We'll talk about that coming up next. Hey, stream live sports and original content with ESPN Plus today. You get access to the award-winning 30 for 30 library, unrivaled UFC access, including exclusive pay-per-views, live coverage of 35 PGA Tour events every year, and thousands of hours of college sports. Get the ESPN Plus and Disney Plus bundle today and watch ESPN Originals. Stream anytime, anywhere. Go to ESPNLABundle.com to learn more. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
So, we were going to do name that. Jacob Imrani's in today to play Game of Games.
Is he around?
Yeah, there he is. So, I had a whole big Name That Tune thing planned, but now it's...
Funch just forgot to do it?
Funch forgot it.
Yeah.
All right. It's all right. Funch has got so much on his plate. I'm amazed at the amount of stuff he gets done around here. Okay, I've got to come up with a game on the fly, and I will.
All right. So a lot of people want to react to the John Gruden sound.
Oh yeah,
played. Gruden. I'm not sure. I tend to err on the side of forgiveness. I like to give people second chances. I don't know if I can do it with John Gruden, but. Maybe there's something I'm not thinking of. Here is Jesse in Apple Valley. Hey, Jesse, you're on ESPN LA. You think John Gruden can come back and coach or do TV in some way, shape, or form, Jesse?
Well, I'm just kind of stuck on what he said when he was talking about, everybody makes mistakes and that he just asked for forgiveness. But, I mean, being racist, homophobic, misogynist, that's not really a mistake. That's kind of a character flaw. You can't turn that on and off. Like, I just, to say that and then have the butt, you don't sound like you're sorry for what you did.
Yeah, Jesse, we got a very interesting look inside John Gruden's head, and I don't think there's any coming back from that. Okay, comments.
I'll give you a good, thanks Jesse for the phone call. I'll give you a good comparison. If you go back, and you can go on YouTube and watch it. If you go back and watch Al Campanis' appearance on Nightline, Al Campanis had this 50-year career in baseball with the Dodgers. He was a player. He was a scout. He had worked his way up to general manager. The Dodgers are kind of family business. Peter O'Malley at the time was running them. And Ted Koppel's interviewing him on Nightline, strangely, to recognize the anniversary of Jackie Robinson breaking the color barrier.
Yep.
And Al played with Jackie Robinson. And Ted Koppel kind of casually said to Al Campanis, you're a general manager. Why don't we see, Jackie Robinson broke the color barrier for players, but we hardly ever see any black managers. And Al Campanis said to Ted Koppel, I don't think that black people have the necessities
right,
to be
right.
a field manager sure. or a general manager. And Ted Koppel said, I want to try and help you out here and bail you out. Because I think what you said sounds like garbage. Sounds like what people used to say about black players.
That, right.
And Al Campanis said, no, it's just a different skill set. Like, look at why there are no black swimmers. They have no buoyancy.
It's ridiculous, yeah.
And the show ended, and by the next morning, Al Campanis' career was over.
Over, yeah.
And I think the reason, and he never recovered from it.
No.
And I think the reason it was over was you can't have a person in a position of
leadership
or leadership.
Yeah, exactly.
That doesn't respect.
Correct.
A certain, like,
a race.
Yeah. Yeah.
If he's in charge, there's not going to be a black manager because he doesn't believe
they have the ability
right.
to do it.
And so for me,
you no longer can have him there.
For me, that was there was an element of just being dumb. In that, just
to sound ugly, but just blatantly racist.
Yeah, blatantly racist.
Yeah,
and I don't think there should be any coming back from it. Do you think there should be? Do you think John Gruden should have a path back?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
I try and look for ways to be forgiving and give a person a second chance.
But look at the comments.
And I'm trying to find one here.
Yeah.
I don't know if there is one.
No, I don't think there is.
Here's Mike in Temecula. Hey, Mike, what do you think about all this Gruden stuff?
Hey, John. You know what? I drove around. I was really young in the Palm Springs area, and I drove around the owner of the Purple and Gold to some of his poker games.
Really?
Back in the 80s. I met him in 1982, I believe, and they used to have their training camp down at College of the Desert.
Okay.
I met him at Eisenhower Medical Center, where I was a valet, worked for valet, and he got a liking to me, and I drove him probably a dozen times between 82 and 87. You know, he would hire me to drive him around, and we would start like around 9 o'clock at night and go to three or four little poker games that I used to drive him to.
Right.
And some of the things that would happen at some of these poker games that would never fly in today's culture.
Right.
You know,
Nor should it fly.
And nor should it, but it was a different time, a different period. I remember going to Thunderbird Country Club one time where where an ex-leader of our country lived,
mm-hmm.
and I heard some things that I'm thinking, and this was the leader of our country.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And I think, and how do these people get in positions of power when they have these type of thoughts and mentality towards other races and other sexual orientation.
Mike, you think that John Gruden probably can't coach or go on TV again, it sounds like.
I don't think so. I don't think so. Not in today's culture. Something like this in the 70s and 80s, that was all over.
Yeah, different time. Thanks, Mike, for the phone call.
Yeah, I mean, I just go back to, you know, whether it's fair or not that Gruden's stuff came out, because Gruden's stuff came out, nobody else's did. But we got to look inside his head, and he is racist, misogynistic, and homophobic. You can't come back from that. We saw inside his head.
Michael just sent me a text. Michael Thompson, remind Mace about Tim Hardaway, who said, "I hate gay people."
That's reprehensible.
Right, but he, you know what he did? He kind of met with a lot of them, kind of changed the narrative, and now he's back in good graces. Maybe that's a roadmap for Gruden, that if he would, you know, deal with some African-American leaders and deal with, you know, some of the things he said. But I don't know. You can't always forgive and forget. Here's Bridget in Chatsworth. Hey, Bridget.
7.1.
Bridget, you there?
Hey, Bridget.
Hi.
What's up?
This is Bridget from Chatsworth.
Hello, Bridget from Chatsworth.
Hi, I heard what Keyshawn said this morning. I was listening at work.
Yeah.
And it's all about a cultural mac
so
and cheese.
You guys, you when I say you guys, Keyshawn.
Black people.
Right.
Black people.
Right.
Yes.
Like, you guys would never put breadcrumbs on mac and cheese?
Most of us would never. And I've heard of mac and cheese with tuna and ketchup and all this crazy stuff. We don't do that. We just make some mac and cheese with some cheese and regular milk. We don't have to add all kind of stuff to it for it to taste good.
So then maybe that is play Key's thing again.
Yeah, it
Mace.
Sounds like that's exactly
so
what
that
Key's
Bridget
talking
that
about.
Actually makes some sense. Here's Key talking about Mac Jones.
Right. Mac Jones, this training or this preseason to me looked like bad macaroni and cheese with breadcrumbs.
With breadcrumbs.
So that that's what you're saying, Bridget, that if to most black people, the idea of putting breadcrumbs on mac and cheese would ruin it.
That's a no-no.
Okay.
All right.
Got it. Okay.
Bridget,
thank you
for calling.
Bridget. Appreciate it.
Mason?
Yes.
Mason.
Yes.
Mason. I'm still a Westbrook fan.
You are.
You're the other one. Me and you, Bridget.
Bridget and Ireland are the last two Westbrook,
Westbrook
fans.
Ireland. We've got all sorts of room for people that want to come
plenty,
on board.
Plenty of vacancies. Bridget, thank you for
Bridget,
calling.
It sounds like the island right now is Bridget and Chatsworth, Jeannie Buss, and me. That's it.
That is it.
Westbrook Island, we stand united.
All right, so Ireland, I've managed to come up with another game.
Excellent.
So we are, wait a minute, what? Is he working on it?
Yeah, your songs are coming
in. The songs, okay, we're doing Name That Tune.
All right.
Taylor's helping.
All right, we'll have a game.
A game.
It'll be one of two things we're considering.
Yes.
And you should stay tuned just in case it all goes to hell and it would be really funny.
Very well could. Yeah. Very well could. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, thank you very much, Chris Morales. Game of Games time. Jacob Imrani is here. Jacob, how you doing?
Fantastic. Yeah. Great to see you.
What is your record so far in Game of Games?
I believe it's 2-2.
Yeah, really? Very respectable.
Very respectable. I've not won a game this month.
Now, Bergman, I need to win today to stay alive against you, right?
Yes, and during Michael Thompson games, that usually favor you.
All right, so this is a very big game for me.
Yes.
Let's see go, if Jacob. I can pull it off.
And I've already been threatened by John. He's already told me.
He's like, I'm going to take him down.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, I'm coming for Jacob.
All right, here we go. So, you know, we are in the middle of putting a spaceship back on the moon. You know that story, right?
I didn't, but go.
Yeah, it's supposed to launch on Friday, an unmanned thing to the moon in preparation for going to the moon. So because of that, I've got a NASA trivia game.
Oh, God.
NASA trivia game.
It's not good for me either, John.
You guys fine.
Okay.
All is a guess.
All right. So it is flag. Bergman, Briones, Imrani, and Ireland.
Yes.
That's the four.
Yes.
Okay, here we go.
All right. When was the last time a person walked on the moon? Was it A, 1969, B, 1972, or C, 1975? Start with Jacob.
I will say 1975.
1975. Okay, Ireland?
I'm with Jacob, 1975.
Okay, Bergman?
They would know better than me, but I feel like it was only that one time.
1975. And Jorge?
I'll go 69, different.
You guys all missed it. The correct answer is 1972. 1972.
I was born. Woo.
Yeah, it was the last time we were on the moon. All right, number two. How many women have walked on the moon? Is it A, none, B, one, or C, two, Ireland?
None.
Ireland says none with great authority. Bergman.
Yeah, he was pretty serious about that. I'm going to stick with Ireland. Zero.
Zero. Jorge?
Zero.
Zero. And Jacob?
I'm going with the pack. Zero.
Yeah, zero is the correct answer. No woman has walked on the moon. 12 men have walked on the moon. Mm-hmm. All right, number three. In what year was the first space shuttle flight? The first space shuttle flight. Was it A, 1979, B, 1981, or C, 1987? Bergman.
Man, I'm just going to go in the middle.
79, 81, 87.
I'm just going to go in the middle, 81.
81, says Bergman. Jorge.
79.
Jacob.
81.
81, Ireland.
I'm with Jorge, 79.
The correct answer is 81. Yeah! 81.
Let's go, Jacob.
So it was the middle.
Okay, Bergman and Jacob got that, right?
Yes, correct.
Okay, they have two, and Jorge and I have one.
All right, NASA boss Jim Bridenstine has said that the moon will serve as critical training ground to explore what planet in 2030? Is it A, Mercury, B, Mars, or C, Venus? Jorge.
Venus.
Venus. Jacob.
Mercury?
Mercury. Ireland.
I'll go Mars.
Mars. Bergman.
Mars.
Mars is the correct answer. Yeah, I don't think we've got plans to go to Mercury or to Venus.
Yeah.
It is Bergman 3, Jacob 2, Ireland 2, Jorge 1. Next one. What is the average temperature on Mars? The average temperature on Mars. Is it 110 degrees, 160 degrees, or minus 80 degrees? We're back to Jacob for the first guess. 110, 160, or minus 80?
I would say 160.
160. Ireland.
Minus 80.
Minus 80. Bergman.
Yeah, I'm going minus 80.
Minus 80. Jorge.
What was it? Something
110, 160, or minus 80? 110. Yeah, you should have gone with Ireland and Bergman.
It's further away from the sun.
Bergman is copying all my answers, so you have.
He's
copying me three times in a row. I know, you're playing defense. He has to go first.
Yeah. I mean, there might have been a little bit of that. However,
I'm copying every one of my answers. Don't even try and deny it.
That sounds like complaining to me.
Nope.
That sounds like complaining to me.
No, it's not complaining. He's calling us He's calling you for out.
I did.
I just was... just have him go before me. Okay. That's all I'm asking. All right.
No, okay. So I went minus 80 because it's further away from the sun.
Okay. Okay.
Yes, that,
was, that,
okay.
Was that one.
All right.
John.
In August of 2006, the International Astronomical Union downgraded the status of Pluto from planet to what? Was it a star, a dwarf planet, or a small solar body? Which one is it? Bergman, you're going to go first.
I can't believe you're listening.
Star, dwarf planet, dwarf or planet. Small solar
dwarf planet.
Dwarf planet, says Bergman. Jorge.
B.
Dwarf yeah. planet. Jacob.
Dwarf planet.
Dwarf planet. Ireland.
Yeah, Bergman's
it
right.
It is a dwarf planet.
Oh,
yeah.
Dwarf planet.
You're copying Bergman.
Well, right. I copy him when he's right. He just copies me no matter what the answer is.
That we're right also. Just so we're on
here
the
is the last
here,
one.
John. Last one.
How many Earths could fit inside the sun? How many Earths could fit inside the sun? Bergman, you have to go first. You're leading.
Okay.
Is it 200, 1 million, or 500,000? How many Earths can fit inside the sun?
Gigantic. I'm going to go 500,000.
500,000. Jorge.
What was the first number?
200. 200, 1 million, or 500? 500,000.
500,000.
500,000. Jacob.
I will go with 500,000.
500,000. Ireland.
Okay.
John.
So.
The opening is
think,
there.
Yeah, I think 200 is too small, so I'll go with a million.
The correct answer is 1 million.
Boom!
Wow. Oh, John did
all
it.
Right, so it's a tiebreaker you situation. Do you have a tiebreaker?
Yeah, I do in 1 second.
Yeah, you tried to cheat. Well, you did. You copied me on every answer you went first.
I copied on one of them.
Okay. All of them.
No.
Okay, here it is.
Picking the right answer isn't
here
copying.
It is. Ireland and Bergman are tied. The question is, how many miles is it from the Earth to the moon closest without going over?
All right, Bergman.
No, you get to go first. I just went first a bunch
let's,
of times.
Let's just flip a coin.
All right. Call Greg,
you have to go first. It came up. It came up, Greg.
It came up, Greg. Is yeah. that what it yeah. said there?
All okay. Right, yeah.
How many miles from Earth to Moon?
Well, you do. You are the incumbent. You are the leader. So you should go first.
Earth to Moon.
Earth to Moon. How many miles?
I don't know anywhere near what this is going to be. 500,000.
500,000. Okay. John?
Look at John.
Jesus, going to kill me. That's a good guess, by the way.
Really good guess.
500,001.
Well, if we both go over, oh, man, I'm screwed.
It's closest. It's not closest without going over.
So okay. We're going to have a winner here.
And the winner is the correct answer, 238,900.
Oh! Greg wins it.
Greg has won the month.
That is, well, it should have come down to that.
Yep, yep.
It should have come down to that.
3 out of 5 months there, John.
Jacob, you were in the race, though.
So, hey.
Won two times this month.
All right, so that's 8 months. I've won 5, you've won 3?
Yep.
Okay, my lead is dwindling.
So, Jacob, you and I were texting about Patrick Beverley. You're a big fan of this?
I am. I'm a big fan. I feel like every time we bring somebody who actually brings that grit, brings the toughness, and actually doesn't mind playing defense, you know, the team definitely gets better. And yeah. I think we needed that after last year, having nobody play defense.
Yeah.
I really believe that this is a great upgrade for us. I know we gave up THD. Obviously, we made Stanley Johnson, you know, somebody who came from nowhere.
Yes.
We made him an asset. But I think Beverly is going to bring a lot to the table. And he's really going to change the attitude, you know, of this team. Even if we stick as is, I believe it's a nice upgrade.
That's the one thing is he's going to set, and very, very much he's going to set the tone, I think. That attitude is going to kind of set the tone for that team on the floor. And it's going to be a defense first mentality.
Hey, what was the deciding question that I lost on?
How many miles from Earth to Moon?
To the Moon.
Yeah, Earth to Moon.
Okay. I thought you said Earth to the sun.
No, Earth to the moon.
Yeah, Earth to the moon. Oh, I'm grabbing.
Oh, are you? You're just trying whatever you can to
fact check
out of this. Exactly.
Yep. Nope. No.
You know, Ireland is so unbelievably competitive.
Oh, I know. Well, and I've still got 5 months to Greg's 3, but now I'm worried about him catching me because there's 4 months left.
As you should be.
Is Bergman getting smarter or are you getting dumber?
Here's the thing. Greg, this is going to, I'm getting dumber. This is going to surprise you, Greg, that I'm going to admit this. I need you on the show because you're the only one who brings your A game. As the I am the reigning Game of Games champion.
You are.
I am the reigning Mythical Money champion.
Are you? Is he?
And Bergman now is threatening both of my titles.
Absolutely.
Wow. He's going to take you down.
Mythical Money is mine.
Oh, yeah. No.
Jorge leads in Mythical Money.
Oh, okay.
A lot, right?
Yeah, Jorge leads in
Mythical
Money.
Well, start betting, you cheap bastard.
It's competitive around here, man.
I love this.
All right. I want to let everybody know Game of Games is powered by Call Jacob. Winning matters. That's why after an accident, you got to go to calljacob.com or call 844-24-JACOB. That is 844-24-JACOB. Jacob, great seeing you, man. Thanks for coming by.
Great to see you guys.
We'll see you next week.
Take care.
Cool.
Bye.
All right. There's Jacob Marantz. Yeah, I mean, now why do you think I'm not? I'm very smart. Why am I not good at Game of Games?
You're just not as competitive as us. You don't care as much as
yeah,
we do.
I do not care as much.
I didn't care before, but once John started getting it.
You started caring, Bergman.
Now I care.
I need Bergman because he actually competes.
It's just a game.
Hell, no, it's not. You lose this game, a little piece of you dies.
Not life or death.
What you just heard was a little piece of me dying.
Every day at 3:40, I'm like, F it, let's play a game.
That came out just so excited. I was very, very happy by getting that win.
Yeah. Afternoon today, interesting combo, huh?
It's not Beto and DeMarco again?
No, it's Beto and Brian Kamenetsky.
So wait a minute, it's a Kamenetsky sandwich. We had Andy earlier. We're getting Brian now.
Exactly. So Brian and Beto are going to be in here in just a minute. We'll do a little super cross talk. Mason,
Ireland. You can do it
now. Oh, can we do it right now?
Yeah.
Let's do it now.
ESPN AM 710 Los Angeles. KRDC AM 1110 Pasadena, Los Angeles.
K256CX 99.1 FM Pasadena, Los Angeles.
It's the greatest segment in LA sports radio history. Radio history.
Oh my God.
When the shows come together for magic on the radio.
It will only grow stronger. Super Crosstalk.
Are we ready for Sedano and Kaff to join Mason in Ireland?
Super Crosstalk begins.
Super Crosstalk. Presented by Coors Light. Coors Light. Made to chill.
It's time for Super Crosstalk.
Hey, listen to this.
Yep.
You know how it's been like a nightmare season for Fernando Tatis and the Padres?
Yeah, all that crap.
So Tatis gets caught using PEDs. But he had a shoulder issue, so he was scheduled for shoulder surgery today since he's
out. Right.
They're going to take it out. His surgery was canceled because he tested positive for COVID.
Oh, wow.
I mean, that guy, it rains, it pours.
I feel like the, who is it? Is it Subway? Or it's Dairy Queen, who I don't feel like is getting the best bang for their buck for the Fernando Tatis, Cody Bellinger.
Bellinger's
hitting 170, and Tatis is banned for the rest of the season.
File that under, it seemed like a good idea at the time.
Bad endorsement.
Now, are you, Beto, Brian, are you guys in agreement with me that the biggest threat to the Dodgers not going to the World Series is the Mets?
No, it's the Dodgers. It's
interesting answer.
In what themselves.
They gotta get out of their own way. It's the Dodgers, I don't think, are a team that fear anybody. Just being around a little bit and talking to a couple of folks, it's just that what are we gonna do when we get to the playoffs?
Right.
Are we gonna get tight?
Well, Beto, when they played the Mets earlier in the
season,
it was a four-game series and it was split 2-2.
I'm not worried
about what they did. Tonight is a 3 or a 4?
3.
All right.
3 and the Padres are here on Friday.
Okay.
Yeah. 3 in August.
I think if the Mets, and we're not going to see Scherzer.
Tomorrow DeGrom.
Yeah, I just think DeGrom.
Scherzer's out?
He's just not his turn in the rotation.
Just missed
him. DeGrom is back healthy?
Yeah DeGrom tomorrow. Is healthy 100%.
Heaney tonight, and then I don't know who else is going
Heaney
for
Heaney tonight.
Kershaw later on.
Kershaw's Thursday. I forget who's tomorrow. Who's tomorrow?
Tyler Anderson.
Tyler Anderson. There you go. Anderson.
I'm just not worried about other teams. It's just the Dodgers have to get out of their own way.
It's just who's available. Do they play reasonably to expectations and who is literally there and able to play? Because I think the thing that's amazing to me about the Dodgers is they're like 800 games over 500.
Oh, yeah.
And they've been, it's not like they've been the one team that's been healthy all year. They've had dudes in and out, important players.
Pitchers,
gigantic amounts. They're better than everybody.
They are.
By a lot.
And they should win it all. And
They should.
But it's baseball.
They better.
So okay, but it's baseball.
They need a parade for Mason. It's
baseball. And, you know, last year, David Schoenfeld points out, 88-win Braves team beat the 95-win Brewers team, the 106-win Dodgers team, and the 95-win Astros team and won the World Series. Because baseball is a crapshoot once you get to the tournament at the end of the year.
Mm. All right. So let me ask you guys something. Trace Thompson, since coming over from Detroit, is the 14th ranked statistical outfielder in all of baseball. He's just killing the ball.
Yeah.
And he's doing it in reverse splits. He hits like 360 against right-handed pitching and 175 against lefties.
Yep.
So the idea that you would simply platoon him left-right doesn't work because he hits better against righties and lefties. Cody Bellinger is batting 208.
Yep.
But 208 against everyone.
Right.
Lefties and righties.
Lefties, righties.
Consistent. Yeah, so that's what you want.
Postseason starts. Is Cody your starting center fielder?
Yeah, you go with him for your defensive
guy. For defense?
That's it. That's the only thing that's keeping him there.
And you use Trace. You keep Trace on the bench?
No, I think you swing Trace into left field.
I'm
not
going to say it's every game where Cody's going to get the start every single time, but he's the guy that gives you the defensive.
Taylor doesn't
you
need play every day.
You play him. So I think.
Trace and Gallo in left.
What do you do with Taylor?
Oh, Taylor second, Lux DH,
then
that.
You're leaving Muncy so out. Pizza.
Then you're leaving Muncy out.
Why does Taylor need to be in the lineup, given what he's doing now? If this continues.
Well, why does Bellinger need in the lineup, given what he's doing now?
He is a gold glove.
He changes it. That's it. That's the only thing that the reason he's still in the team.
But that's a big thing.
Yeah, it's huge.
I mean, you know, we're going to see. I'm not worried about time for Trace. I'm not worried about time for Lux. I'm not worried about time. I think they're all going to play and all going
to
figure prominently.
They'll find a way to get them all in the mix.
Yeah, they'll all be in there.
That's what they do all the time. They find a mix.
But if those guys are all hitting, if Lux and Trace are both hitting and Bellinger just continues not to hit, but he does, Beto, as you point out, play Gold Glove defense, is that enough to keep Bellinger in the everyday starting lineup?
I think Bellinger's the first one that gets the hook with the pinch hitter.
Right.
It's just enough.
Yeah.
But late in the game is when you want good defense in center.
Yeah, but depends on the game, too.
But
where he's gonna be at.
The thing is, Trace is also an elite fielder.
And the way he's been
fielder.
Playing lately in the field, robbing home runs.
Yep.
He's making a big
But he's not as good
himself.
As Cody. Cody's better. Nah,
yeah, but I'm telling you, the outfield.
Maybe Mookie is
the
as
outfield
good as Cody.
Of Trace, Bellinger, and Mookie
nice.
Catches everything.
Yep.
Okay, so Mookie has been. He just won Player of the Week last week. He's up to 32 homers, right, Beto?
Yeah.
Paul Goldschmidt has 33 homers, hitting for a much higher average, but Mookie plays leadoff. Hits leadoff and plays killer defense in the outfield. Mm-hmm. Do I have an argument for Mookie for MVP this year?
No.
It's Goldschmidt.
Yeah. Because it's the Cardinal way. They love the St. Louis.
Well, and
media.
The Cardinals are winning their division.
They're winning their division.
The Dodgers are winning everything.
Right.
Yeah. And then it's also, if you take Mookie off, are they still this much of a team that's out there? Of course it is. If you take them out, that's what they're going to look at. Like, if St. Louis doesn't have Goldschmidt, what are you going to do? Obviously, you have Arenado.
So the Dodgers are going to have a team that could have the best record in the history of baseball that won't have an MVP or a Cy Young Award winner.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, it's Goldschmidt. I just pulled up his numbers.
He's ridiculous.
Which is
he's
kind
ridiculous.
Of.
335, 33 homers, leads baseball in batting average and RBIs.
Yeah.
Leads
baseball.
How many
guys,
a good team.
Yeah, how many really guys will finish in the top, I don't know how deep it goes in, but like let's say it went into the top 20 for both Cy Young and MVP. How many guys would the Dodgers have in that? Because that, if I'm the front office, that's what I'm walking around going,
well, Mookie, Freeman, Trey.
At least, right? Well, so that's, you know.
And the other thing is,
Gonsolin, Anderson. Be in there.
Who's Mace? Look up the current batting title, because I know Freeman.
I think it was Trey.
Freeman and Trey lead the majors in hits, but they play every day, so they might not be
and they
on
want,
track.
And Trey wants to play every day.
Yeah,
too.
They might not be on track to win the batting title. Trey won the batting title last year.
Yes,
he's so much fun.
Batting title. So what is it this year? Do you have him in front of you?
Batting average is Goldschmidt, .335
ahead of Trey.
Yeah.
Okay.
Freddie Freeman is second at .327. Jeff McNeil third, Luis and down the list. But Goldschmidt is one at .335. Freeman is two at .327.
So Goldschmidt is in the running for Triple Crown.
How happy is he that?
I know he doesn't lead the league in homers anymore. Somebody's got 36, but I think he's leading in RBIs and batting.
There was a tweet last week said, like, oh, Goldschmidt hit a home run or something. I think on Sunday Night Baseball, whatever it was. Oh, he's so underrated. Like, underrated? Like, what are you talking about? This come from
it's
a state.
Very
well,
much
media.
Rated.
Well, there's yeah, only exactly. there's
so
only
he doesn't get enough exposure.
There's only one Cardinals fan in the room right now.
Who? Nobody.
Really?
Oh, he's not a Cardinals fan.
Really?
There's no
Brian?
Way.
Sure, we got a way.
He's a Cardinals fan.
What are you gonna do?
No, we banned the Cardinals hats from the studio.
You're still a Cardinals fan? Sure. Oh. I mean, you don't give that up.
Kyle Schwarber.
Yeah, Schwarber's got 36.
36 home runs. Goldschmidt's got 33. Aaron Judge is going
to
hit.
I did like how the Cardinals tried to do mariachis on Sunday. That was nice, though.
Well, so better. Did you see they brought
we're
in.
Trying to get away from what do the they call this guy? Racism.
Tony Trumpet. And they brought him in for Diaz.
For New York, yeah.
If he comes in tonight. So
he's a European guy, so Tony Trumpet.
Well, the ultimate insult would be if he never gets a chance.
Yes.
If Diaz doesn't come into the game, right?
Just keep Tony Trumpet on the bench.
There it is. That's all you need.
Yeah.
You don't need that.
No.
What's up, Mays? How you doing today?
Everything's good.
ESPN hat?
Yeah, ESPN hat.
Company guy.
We had clients in the...
is that why you had the collar shirt?
They just signed that.
You know what? This is so funny. I wore a collared shirt deliberately because I knew there were going to be clients.
That's the first time I've seen you in a collared shirt.
Yeah, I normally don't. There's Tony Trumpet.
Yeah.
Normally it's just the hoodie with no shirt.
Right. Well, yeah. Yeah.
And depending on how saucy you feel
wrong.
That day.
Bergman says it's Timmy, not Tommy.
And that's a Travis Matthew polo. That means it's free, right?
Correct.
Absolutely. Me too. I got
correct.
One free.
Correct. You're wearing Travis Matthew also.
When you turn 40, middle-aged washed up, you wear the Travis Matthew polo because you wear it to golf or you wear it everywhere you go. That's just that middle-aged I'm done guy. Like, you're not going to
wear
anything.
What? Wait a minute.
Absolutely.
I'm not done.
That is
absolutely.
The worst
by the way,
ad for Travis
Matthew
ever.
Is going to be pissed off at you. That's
right. That is a terrible endorsement.
That's all I wear is Travis Matthew.
When you're all washed up, Travis Matthew.
Because I love Travis Matthew.
I love them too. Hey, they're $80. I buy them all the time. Because this is when you're just like, okay, I need something that's nice, but very comfortable. And I know that I can get away in the office with it.
When there's nothing left to wear, Travis Matthew.
Because if you
no, I would wear Travis.
When you're dead inside,
because
but
there's
don't want to look like it.
There's other shirts that you wear, and you're like, that's you're too old to be wearing that kind of shirt.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't believe in those age restrictions.
You should. There's some things.
Are you going to the golf? Are you going to the golf tournament?
I wasn't invited to the golf tournament.
Oh yeah, it's next Friday. Come
it's gonna be great. And a black gold.
Are you playing?
I'm not playing. I won't be there, but my spirit will be there.
Beto, I'm gonna go like super. If Bergman can swing it, I've got him negotiating on my behalf. I'm gonna go super early and play the course before the tournament.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah,
right. You won't even be. I'll
put it out there. I will do PTO.
I played play at 6:30 one time with Morales.
Yeah,
beautiful. Nobody's there.
Yeah,
it's not
gonna be like 200 degrees.
Oh,
either.
Yeah.
Do you guys see? By the way, do you guys see the weather for this weekend at the Rose Bowl? 11:30 kick.
Yeah.
UCLA Bowling Green.
Go Falcons!
Go Falcons!
With Matt McDonald, Paul McDonald's son, a quarterback for the Falcons. 102 at
kickoff. In the Rose Bowl where there's no shade?
Right.
Yep.
And then USC kicks at 3:30. It'll still be 100.
It'll still be hot.
But there'll be some shade kind of by the press box. You can hide it.
So, better, did I have this right? Mason asked me, what side's the shady side? The press box side is the shady side.
We figured out.
If you want to, press box is where because it blocks a lot of the sun.
But the home sideline is where the sun is.
Behind the USC bench.
You want to behind the visitor side.
Yeah.
But I got tickets behind the Trojans bench.
Oh, you're
so
burnt.
you're gonna be sitting in the sun.
Like,
all day.
I'm two sections over
you're
from the student section.
You're a lobster, baby. You're a lobster.
Two words.
By the student
sun
section.
Block.
You're by the student section?
Yeah.
Like, you know why they put you there, right?
What?
Because that's the one where the sun hits you the most.
No.
Those kids can handle getting drunk.
All the rich, fat, tat USC alums are sitting in the shade.
Yeah. Okay, here's...
How are you not in a suite?
Oh, I'm not a suite
You're
guy.
Steve Mason.
Yeah, I'm not.
Do you want the honest answer to that question?
They didn't come through?
No. We don't do the USC games
anymore.
Yeah,
we don't. But
he knows all the fat kids.
But on top of that,
when we were doing USC football, Mason did whatever he wanted.
Mason walked in with a letter.
Oh, my God. Can you remember the days of doing, I was on the sidelines for every single USC game.
Yeah.
Now I'm in the sun.
You and Marcus Allen hanging out?
Now I'm in the sun behind the bench.
You want to hear a really cool story? You know, I know Mike Garrett takes a lot of heat.
He's a jackass.
Okay.
Whatever for.
So I had a...
had to deal with him every week.
This was like 20 years ago, but a guy I know, his father was a diehard Trojan fan, went to every single... He was like Giles Pellerin. He went to like every single game.
Okay.
You know, that was his whole life. He was USC football. And he wanted some of his ashes spread in the end zone of the Coliseum. And so my friend, the guy I know, went to Mike Garrett and he told him that story. And Mike said to him, he goes, could I get a sideline pass? He goes, I won't make a big deal out of it. I'm talking, I'll cut a hole in my pocket. I'll put some ashes in my pocket. It'll be a small, minute amount, maybe an inch. And just as a symbolic thing. And Mike Garrett said, nah, that's a safety violation. I could never let you do that. I'm very sorry. And he said, but I appreciate you coming to me and I'm sorry for your loss. And as he was walking out, Mike walks up to him and shakes hands and goes, thanks for coming in. And in the handshake was a sideline pass.
Oh, okay. Wow.
He goes, and he looked at him, he goes, yeah. We on the same page? He goes, yeah. Yes, sir.
Very
he goes,
cool.
Very sorry I couldn't accommodate you more. And he goes, okay. And he walked out there with just a touch of just his enough. Dad's ashes.
That's cool.
And dropped him in the end
so
zone.
So when I was doing USC pregame.
Here comes the downer.
When I was doing USC pregame.
He was a jackass, so he can't be a good guy.
I dreaded going in and talking to Mike. He was so salty every single. Yeah, because I'd interview him for the pregame when I was doing the USC network.
Oh, that was part of his gig?
That was part of every week.
And he was salty?
The athlete. Oh, God.
But you're like
it
the
was
homer.
Such a relief when Hayden got there, because Hayden's like the nicest guy in the world.
You were the homer. You were like. Like softball.
Total homer.
Yeah. Hey,
still
Mike,
difficult.
How's the swimming program doing?
Yeah, it's still difficult. Still difficult.
Why?
And he got us on probation. Because he wouldn't bend the knee.
Did he not like
as they say on Game of Thrones.
He didn't like you or the interview?
I don't think he liked the fact that he had to do an interview.
No,
every
because
week.
I've seen him do other interviews where he was cordial and he was nice.
Yeah.
Not all the time.
Not what I think of when I think of
Where should we spread your ashes after you go to the game this weekend and burn to a crisp in 105 degree temperatures? Because that's all that's going to be left of you. So
that's
where do you,
all that's left.
Where There's do you no want way. Us to scatter you?
Halftime, he's gone.
No.
You're gone.
No.
Yes.
No, I'm there for a game. I want to see 59 and nothing.
102
degrees. Quarter.
I think 59 and nothing. I will, by the way, I'll take a picture of the scoreboard when it's over like I always do just
to
prove to
you
guys I'm there.
In front of the scoreboard. We don't have a picture.
Right, holding a newspaper.
You, holding the newspaper in front of the scoreboard.
Holding the newspaper? What's
a
newspaper?
It's the thing you say, like, hold the newspaper to prove that you're
there. Oh, yeah, I'm not proving. Yeah. I'm definitely going to be there.
Nah,
I'm, going
can,
with,
Photoshop.
I'm going with Trojan
Alex
Michelson. Yeah.
He's 6'7". He can block the sun.
Yeah, I know. He really is tall.
Yeah,
I am really going to be short.
Alex is all in, but he's also younger. He has the energy, Mace.
Hey, by the way.
What do you mean I don't have energy? Come on.
Mace.
It's 102. Like
just because I'm wearing a Travis Matthews shirt doesn't mean I have no energy.
Washed. You're going to shrivel up washed. Like a raisin.
Yeah. There's no way. Are you going to tailgate?
No, I'm not tailgate.
You're not tailgate? Okay, that helps. You're going straight to the game.
Going straight to the game.
Okay, that helps.
Yeah. I'm excited. And by the way, I want style points, man. I want to see
beat them up.
59 to 10.
Those Falcons have nothing on us.
72 to 3. That's what I'm looking for from USC on Saturday.
Yeah, Ralik
style
Brown.
Points.
Ralik Brown.
Hey Brian,
you need to know.
Have you ever noticed this guy, Francis Tiafoe, the tennis player, is a dead ringer for Lance Stephenson?
I was just looking at him, first of all, going, geez, that guy is like... well built.
Yeah, he's like wait
the
till
US
they
Open?
Show. Yeah. This guy's playing at the US Open. He's the 22nd ranked player in the US Open, and he's playing in New York on center court. And he is a dead ringer for Born Ready, Lance Stephenson. He even has a headband on. Yeah, you remember Stephenson?
Oh yeah, that meme, right?
Isn't Lance still in the league?
Sort of.
He'll find a
spot. Isn't he playing at in Indiana? It just seems like that
he's still in the league in the same way I'm still in radio. It's like sort of.
You're sort of in radio.
So is Lance Stephenson still in the league?
You're hosting Afternoon Drive at ESPN LA
in the number two market in America.
That's what I'm
saying. With me, wow. Can only go up from here.
All right.
Kill or down.
So you got a big show planned, battle?
Oh, yeah. Big day. Massive. Big day. We're going to talk about, first, actually, no, legit.
Yeah.
That Sam Amick story with Genie Bus. Man, I read it this morning.
Now, Genie has not been on our show since Mason declared she
should
sell
the team. Well, you don't talk about Hulu.
You should sell the team and that
she should.
Why?
We had a no, you don't believe that. No.
The more interviews all right, we'll get into that. The more interviews she does.
No, no.
Yes.
No.
See, look at that. Look at that guy. Brian.
Yeah, change the subject, man.
I know who's not getting an audience with Genie Bus anytime soon.
Yeah,
you. Beto.
You.
Beto.
Me and you.
Beto, no.
Let's ask about the show. We get an interview.
Yeah. Last time I checked, I don't think we were tops in their list either.
All right.
John Lee, before you get out.
Not friendly to the Lakers all the time.
I'll get blamed for this conversation.
Post-game host now than there used to be.
All right. Super Crosstalk is brought to you by Coors Light, keeping Southern.